The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So, warm hello from Redwood City. And happy to be here. And as we begin, the theme of this week is compassion. And compassion is one of the great ideals that people try to live up to. But sometimes it's more useful to focus on not the ideal, but what gets in the way of the ideal. And there's a number of reasons for this. One is that if we try to live the ideal while there's something blocking it, then mostly the ideal is the idea of the ideal. It's kind of a little bit surfacey or not really deeply rooted inside of us. And also because if we're operating, we don't really understand what's blocking an ideal, but we're still acting it out. We don't really understand ourselves very well, and we can do all kinds of mischief if we don't understand what's going on inside of us. And finally, while the ideal, any ideal, might be ideal, might be seen as being great, it might not. It's not always the best response. And so, if we can remove what blocks, what gets in the way of the ideal inside of us, then we might discover that without that blockage, there's actually something else, some other wholesome movement that wants to come out, something else that seems appropriate. And so compassion has a lot to do with how we are in the presence of suffering, our own suffering and the suffering of others. And one of the things that blocks karuna, this compassion that Buddhism focuses on, is if there's resistance to suffering, resistance to experiencing and feeling it, or contraction or closing down in relationship to it. And so in mindfulness practice, we want to be very aware of how we resist, how we close down, contract, or get involved in attacking, pushing away our own suffering or any suffering that we are aware of. And so what is it like to experience your suffering, however small it might be, without any resistance, but also without any solid place inside, hard place inside, that receives it, picks it up? Because what resists suffering is often can often be ways in which we hold on to other ideals or ideas about who we are or how we should be or our memories or past. And suffering is, you know, is difficult for sure. But mindfulness practice is a practice of learning to be wise and with suffering and learning over time. It's very important to understand it's over time so we can be caring and careful with our suffering. But over time to learn how to have no resistance to it. And in that way to not be struggling with it, not be defensive to it, and not be the victim of it. But certainly we feel it. But in a sense, it doesn't limit us. It doesn't diminish us. It's like we're a wide open field, wide open space, in which suffering has space and room to be there as well. But we're not troubled by it so much. So as we sit this sitting, from time to time, you might find that there is some suffering, some dukkha, some something which is stressful or difficult for you that happens. And you might spend some time exploring the resistance you might have to it, or the blockage, or the contraction, and what it might be like to open and have no resistance, and find some degree of spaciousness and freedom with the presence of suffering. So taking a comfortable, upright meditation posture, and upright being metaphorical, depending, sitting in the way that's right for you, but with your heart and mind upright, present. Gently close your eyes. And as you're sitting here now, is there already some resistance to something? Is there some blockage, some holding back, a sense of bracing yourself or pulling back? And if there is, that itself is the suffering. Can you be aware of the resistance without resistance? Can you be aware of contraction or pulling back without pulling back from that? And then maybe quite gently, taking a slow, long, deep in-breath, and gently, slowly, long exhale. Breathing in deeply, and then letting go with the exhale. Breathing in slow and deep and full as something which is gentling or tender, kind, moving through your body. Slow, long exhale as a kind exhale. Soft movement, a caring movement within the torso. And then letting your breathing return to normal. And as you exhale, softening the muscles of the face. The muscles do not need to be held close to the skull. They can ease away. Relaxing the shoulders. The shoulders do not need to be pulled up towards the ears. The shoulders can relax down towards the ground. Relaxing in the heart area. In the chest. And maybe maybe even the back rib cage can soften. And then relaxing the belly. And breathing naturally, normally. For a little bit, attend to the rhythm of your breathing, to the cycle of breathing in and breathing out, and how it's experienced in the body, the physical sensations. And as you're sitting here, is there any form of emotional discomfort? Any form of suffering or stress that you might feel? Or any physical pain, discomfort? And if so, how are you relating to it? How are you with it? Is there any resistance? Or is there an openness, even a willingness to let it be there? Not so you can suffer better, but so that you don't make it worse with resistance and contraction. If you do feel anything that could be dukkha, suffering, see if you can breathe through it. Or if there's a resistance, breathe through the resistance. Don't struggle with the resistance. Don't resist resistance. But hold it in awareness. Breathe in awareness with it. As if becoming aware of it carefully is the only thing you need to do. Know it intimately. And if your discomfort, your dukkha is not too strong, experiment with opening up to receive it. In the way that you would receive a refreshing breeze of wind on a warm day, just open. Or the way that the air receives the wind. the way that a dry ground receives a raindrop. The way your pillow receives your head. Experimented with letting go of resistance and just being with it, as if your dukkha has permission to be there and that you will receive it. And if that's not possible, then be aware of the resistance. Breathe with it. Feel it. As you exhale, also let go of your thinking. The more you think, the less it's possible to be receptive and open to dukkha. And if you're able to not resist suffering, to really allow yourself to feel it freely and openly, perhaps it touches something wholesome within you. Perhaps it can allow for something inside of you to expand instead of contract. Something inside of you to open instead of closing. Allow something inside of you to become more tender, soft and sweet, instead of hard and challenged and maybe even bitter. The point is not to be without resistance for its own sake, but to be without resistance to suffering, so the suffering can touch something much more deep inside, something wise and caring, a place maybe of tenderness or softness, some place that feels intimate and valuable. And then as we come to the end of this sitting, to turn your heart towards the world around you, perhaps to the suffering, both the small and the immense suffering in our world. And what is it like to open up to it without any resistance? As if there's a deep place inside, a place of wisdom, of care, of compassion, that's worth feeling, having it feel, be present for the suffering of the world without resistance. Almost as if you're a one-room house with two doors, one in the front and one in the back, and the suffering of the world comes in, clearly comes in, but it blows out the other end, the other door, back door. Not to dismiss it, but once you've received the message, it doesn't have to linger. The wind might keep coming, but there's no blockage for it. And then to end this sitting with actively thinking about, having thoughts of wishing, hoping, wanting the suffering of the world to decrease, to be alleviated, to come to an end. Thinking happily how wonderful that would be. Thinking about how wonderful the end of suffering would be. As if just know, if others just knew that you had this wish, it would benefit them. Just knowing that there are good people who are care and concerned about suffering and the end of it is itself medicine for this world. And then maybe you can also consider how you might act on compassion today. Are there small acts of compassionate care that you can offer to those local and those far away? Compassion grows when we act on it. May all beings be free of suffering. May all beings be free of oppression. May all beings be free of hostility. May all beings be free of danger. May all beings be safe. And may all beings live in peace and freedom. May all beings be free.